We're going to look at Jesus' 10 secrets to powerful prayer. As we look at Matthew chapter 6, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking at some of the things, and we want to look at prayer this morning. And I have a challenge for you at the end, so stay to the end for your challenge. Do you want your prayers to be powerful, but you don't know how? You know you should pray, but why? I mean, God already knows it all, right? Why do we bother Him all the time with our prayers? Why are we doing this? Do you feel like something is lacking in your prayer life, but you don't know what? Well, as we look at Jesus' 10 secrets that He gives in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, we're going to start there as He teaches us about prayer. Now, certainly this is not all that Jesus teaches on prayer. We're just going to scratch the surface today, and we're going to scratch it very lightly and very quickly. But prayer is not the only thing that we need to be doing, but it is an important part of our Christian life. There are two aspects to our relationship with God. One is listening to Him, having Him speak to us, and He does that through His Word. The other is our opportunity to speak back to Him, and we do that through prayer. And so these are the two things that make a relationship possible. Just like a relationship with a human being that we might have, we talk to them, and they talk back to us, and we listen, and then we talk, and they listen, and that's a communication. That starts a relationship. It's rather difficult to have a relationship with somebody that you never talk to or that you never listen to. There are a lot of Christians, however, who talk about having a relationship with God, but they never talk to Him, and they never let Him talk to them. That's not much of a relationship. If we really want to have a relationship with God, if we really want it to be meaningful, if we want it to be powerful, if we want it to make a difference in our lives, we've got to talk to Him, and we've got to let Him talk to us through His Word. That's the only way that we can truly develop and grow in our relationship with God. Cameron, you just asked me if that thing was working, and I said it was, and that jinxed it right there. But as we look at these, we're going to run through these quickly. 10 secrets that Jesus gives us to powerful prayer. Number one secret to powerful prayer is humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets so they can be seen of men. Truly I tell you, they have their reward already." Now, Jesus is not condemning having a public prayer. He led public prayers Himself on many occasions. He's fixing to give a sample of a prayer in just a few verses from here. He's not condemning as Christians going to God in prayer in a public setting. That's not what His point is. His point is, what's your motivation? Are you humble about it? Are you there to seek God? Or are you there to show how great a prayer you are? And I think there are some folks that we got all the different singing groups and different groups that do different things, and they go around and they get paid to go do those things. I think there are some folks that think, man, I could be such a good prayer, people would pay me to hear me pray. Well, that's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is about reaching out to God, not encouraging flattery and encouraging people to look to us as something great. Prayer is not a media event. It is not something there to get us puffed up and proud. Another secret to powerful prayer is privacy. Privacy. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, He says, "But when you pray, go into your closet. And when you've shut the door, you pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly." Now again, we talked about, there's nothing wrong with a public prayer, but there are some things that you need to talk to God about that you don't need to talk to everybody else about. They don't need to be public knowledge. Those things don't need to be aired out in front of everyone. It's something you need to go talk to God privately about. You need to beg Him and plead with Him and deal with some private issues. Privacy is such an important part of it. The secrecy of it, the intimate communication with our Heavenly Father. God wants us to talk to Him with meaning and feeling, to really let Him know what's going on in our lives, to really let Him hear what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And let's be honest, we're going to be very reluctant to do that in front of a crowd, aren't we? I know most of us would. We don't want other people to see our vulnerabilities. We don't want other people to recognize our struggles and our weaknesses. And that in itself perhaps is a weakness. The Bible does tell us to confess our faults one to another, to strengthen the weak and encourage one another. And that's hard to do if we don't share these things with one another. But there are times where all of us just feel like, I can't share that with other people, but I need to talk to God about it. And we need to be able to do that in private. And then we want to notice as well that one secret to powerful prayer is simplicity. Matthew 6:7, he says, "But when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words." You ever read a legal document? Well, okay, have you ever looked at one? I know you haven't read one. None of us read them. You know those things that are 20 pages long that are at the end of every contract that you sign and everything that you, and it's this big legalese and it's in tiny print that you need a magnifying glass to see and you can't understand 3/4 of the words anyway? Some people try to pray like that to God. Now, God can understand that, but they're not getting the benefit from it. Simplicity. God doesn't demand that we learn some complex language to be able to talk to Him. We can talk to Him just like we can talk to a friend or a relative or a neighbor. We don't have to use some fancy words that we don't even understand the meaning of. Now, if we know some big words and we want to use them, God will understand them. But we don't have to have that. You see, God is not interested in a formula, but a relationship. It's not a matter of, well, repeat this prayer 10 times and God will hear it. If He didn't hear you the first time, He's not going to hear you the 10th time either. If you say it once and it's sincere and it's in humility and it's in simplicity, and we're going to see a few of these other things that are secrets to it too, but if you're right with God, He'll hear it the first time. Now, that doesn't mean there's never a time to repeat something. Jesus prayed 3 times. When He was going to the Father, He kept going back and praying, "Let this cup pass from me." He did it 3 times. Paul, when he had that thorn in the flesh, he prayed 3 times. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to pray for the same thing more than once. That's not the point. But notice, it's just meaningless repetition. It's just saying the same thing just because that's what we've got memorized and it doesn't mean anything to us. It's not coming from the heart. God wants it to be from the heart, with simplicity. Then we want to notice another secret to powerful prayer is openness. Chapter 6 and verse 8, he says, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him." Since He already knows, there's no reason for us to keep it a secret. Just tell Him. You know, sometimes people, I can't tell God about that sin. He already knows. You're not hiding it from Him anyway. Open up and tell Him about it. Now, it's not just a matter of your sins, but what about your needs? What about your desires, your hopes, and your dreams? He wants to know about those too. He cares about us. Now, we're not informing Him of anything He didn't already know, but what we are doing is sharing with someone who cares so much about us that He wants to hear it. He wants us to tell Him, even though we've told Him time and time before. Even though He already knew before we told Him. And then we need to do it with reverence. As Jesus launches into giving a sample here of how it should be done, He tells us in verse 9, "After this manner you're to pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" We need to be reverent toward God because He is going to hallow His name. He's going to make His name revered throughout the world. We talked in class this morning in Revelation about every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess Jesus. everyone's going to revere the Father on the day of judgment. But we best go ahead and do it now. And we need to pray with reverence. It's not something flippant. It's not something where and I understand we have to have that closeness of relationship. We don't want to view God as somebody distant and far off from us, but at the same time, we don't want to put ourselves on an equal plane with Him like we're buddies that grew up together. He is eternal, and He is almighty, and He is so far above us that we can't even begin to imagine how far we have to go to reach His level, and we never will reach His level. We need not think of Him as just the buddy down the street, but at the same time, we do need to have a close relationship with Him while still maintaining that level of respect and reverence. We need to do it with submissiveness. One of the secrets to powerful prayer is submitting to God's will. If we pray to God for something, then we turn around and just go do what we want to do anyway, what's the point of that? What have we accomplished if we do that? Nothing, except to rebel against God's will. We certainly haven't accomplished anything good. In Matthew 6 and verse 10, He says, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, of course, Jesus is speaking this before the time when the church began, before the kingdom was established on the day of Pentecost. But still, we look at the second part of that, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, you think about, how is God's will done in heaven? All of the angels and beings in heaven, how do they treat God? How do they do His will? Think about that for just a minute. The angels in heaven do the will of God without question, eagerly, and constantly. And of course, they do it perfectly. They never sin. Those that did sin were cast out. Satan and his followers were cast out. There's perfect obedience in heaven. Perfect submission to God's will in heaven. And now listen to what Jesus said in this sample prayer. "Let Your will be done on earth like it is in heaven." Perfect submission to God's will? What would the earth be like if there was perfect submission to God's will on earth? Well, easy. It'd be heaven. That's what heaven is. And we need to be striving to make that a reality. Now, are we falling short? Obviously we do. Everyone does. God is gracious and merciful. But look at that goal that we have to strive for. That keeps us busy for the rest of our lives reaching for that goal. We also want to think about the fact that we must obey without delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. As long as we're not obeying, we're disobeying God. We may be saying, "Well, I'm going to, well, I'll get to, well, yeah, it's, I'm just not ready yet, I'll get there." As long as we're not doing it, we're in disobedience to Him. We need to do it with boldness. That's another secret to powerful prayer. It's odd because we talked about humility earlier, and some people think boldness is the opposite of humility. But it's not, because we're supposed to come to God with humility, but we're also supposed to come with boldness. Because we're His children. You know, it's one thing for a total stranger to approach someone about something. Remember the story about a great executive. I don't remember which company it was. It may have been somebody like Sam Walton, the head of Walmart or something. But he's high up executive, one of the richest people in the world. And, you know, there's people sitting in the waiting room there of his office, you know, sitting in the reception area, just waiting, wanting to get in to see him. And the secretary came in. And then in comes this young fella, and he just walks in and opens the door and walks into the office and shuts the door behind him. And everybody's like, "I can't believe he just did. He just walked right. How could he do that?" The secretary said, "Well, that's his son." You see, when you're a son, you can go play. You can just walk right in to the presence of your father. You don't have to set an appointment like that. And when we come before God's throne and come to Him in prayer, we can approach it boldly, because we're not strangers that need to set an appointment. We're His children coming to see our Father. And we can come boldly. Look at Matthew 6:11. "Give us this day our daily bread." He just boldly said, "Give us today what we need. Give it to us." And he says it with an air of expectation that what he says is going to be done. Now, God has promised to provide for our needs, hasn't he? Now, he hasn't promised to provide for all our wants, but our needs, yes. And then we need to do it. When we go to God in prayer, one of the secrets to powerful prayer is forgiveness. Not just asking God for His forgiveness, but here's the hard part. We have to practice forgiveness, and it is so hard sometimes. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. I want us to really think about these two phrases here. Forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins, our trespasses. Well, we all like that part. When we go to God in prayer, we want Him to forgive us. But notice that next phrase that Jesus says. Like we forgive our debtors. Can we honestly pray that? Do we really want God to forgive us the way we forgive other people? Well, I'll forgive you if I see you're doing better. Like, you know, then I'll forgive you. Well, I'll think about it. We'll see if I can forgive you. Jesus said, Father, I want you to forgive me the way I forgive other people. There are a lot of folks that would never be forgiven of anything if they got forgiven the way that they forgive. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us to pray. Now, we're going to skip a little. We'll come back to verse 13. But in verses 14 and 15, he tells us too, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their sins against you, neither will your Father forgive your sins. Now, I'm going to step on some toes probably right here. I have heard teachers, preachers, Christians for years say, well, what he means is we need to be ready to forgive somebody. That's not what he said. He didn't say be ready to forgive them if they come to you and beg you for it. He said you forgive them. Now, obviously, nobody but God has the power to actually forgive a person of sin. But as far as our relationship with them, we forgive them. We're to forgive them even if... You ever think about somebody who's not even a Christian and they wronged you at some point in the past and they're dead already and they're never going to come and ask you to forgive them? You're going to keep holding that grudge? Or are you going to let it go? It's already done the damage it's going to do to them. There's nothing you can do about that. But for your sake, for your soul, for your heart, you've got to forgive it and let it go. I'm surprised my twins didn't burst out into song when I said that. Let it go. I tried to quit saying that. But we've got to have this, not just an attitude of forgiveness, but we've actually got to practice forgiveness. We have to forgive. And it is hard. And it's especially hard when the person who has sinned against us is not showing any signs of remorse. They're not showing any signs that they care that they hurt us or mistreated us. But you look at Stephen. He is a great example of doing what Jesus said to do. As they were stoning him to death, he said, Lord, don't lay this sin against them. Now, did the Lord lay that sin against them? Sure he did. But Stephen begged God, please, just forgive them for what they're doing. Jesus did the same thing on the cross. Father, forgive them. Well, did God forgive them right then? No. Those people were still in sin. They still had to repent and turn to God. Sometimes I think we're afraid that, well, if I forgive that person, then God will forgive them. Well, God's going to forgive them based on their relationship with Him and whether they repent and confess it to Him. And that's between them and God. That's not us. We have to forgive. Well, we could spend hours on that. But our relationship with God and man requires us to forgive others and seek forgiveness when we're in the wrong as well. And that's necessary for us to be able to come to God in prayer and have that prayer not bounce off the ceiling. If we want it to get to God's ears, that's a necessary part of it. Then we want to notice that another secret to powerful prayer is dependence. We must depend on God. Matthew 6:13, "Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We can't get away from Satan on our own. We're not strong enough. We're not powerful enough. We're human, and he is superhuman. He is beyond humanity. He's an angelic being. He's mightier than we are. He can do things we can't do. He's lived longer than we can't escape him on our own. We've got to depend on God to do it. It's through God that we are able to escape the clutches of Satan. And we've got to remember, it's God's power that gets us through, not our own. It's God's. And then, of course, one secret is knowledge. I really wanted to have time to really expand on this one. We'll have to do it in another lesson. But there are three things involved here. One is knowing what to pray. What should I pray for? Should I pray for my selfish desires? Should I pray for things that I'm not going to accept if God gives them to me? Should I pray for things that are outside of His will for me? No, of course not. Well, what should I pray for then? I should pray for my enemies. I should pray for government and peace, 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2. I should pray for church workers, Matthew 9:38. I should pray for strength to face temptation, Matthew 26:41. I should pray for my needs, Matthew 6:11. We talked about a minute ago. I should pray for forgiveness, Matthew 6:12 and Acts 8:22. I should pray for the church, Matthew 6:10. I should pray for other Christians, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. I should pray for the sick, James 5:15. There's a lot of things I need to be praying for, and that's not an exhaustive list by any means. I need to know what to pray. But then I also need to know how to pray. Don't pray to be seen of men or with vain repetition. Sometimes we say phrases and we don't even know what they mean. There's a story about the fellow used to, every prayer he'd say, "And Lord, clear the cobwebs from our minds." And after about 100 times of hearing the same prayer and the same phrase, one of the deacons in the church stood up, and when he said that phrase in the middle of his prayer, and he stood up and said, "Lord, just kill the spider." And wouldn't that be nice if we didn't have cobwebs continually growing up in our mind? If we just get rid of the thing that's causing the problem, wouldn't that be nice? But sometimes we just say these things and they just become a habit. We don't even think about what they mean. How should we pray? Well, alone, Mark 6:46, with faith, Mark 11:24, without quitting, Luke 18:1 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18, with humility and sincerity, Luke 18:10 through 14. Boldly, of course, we talked about already. Hebrews 4:16 talks about that as well. We should pray to God, 2 Corinthians 13:7. We should pray with help from the Spirit, Romans 8:26 and 27. And with holy hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. So we need to know how to pray. And then, of course, we need to know why we're praying. We're not praying to teach God. You ever heard somebody preach a sermon at God in their prayer? "Well, Lord, you said this and you said that." It's okay for us to mention some things along those lines occasionally, but some people, it sounds like they're trying to teach God something. That's not our job. It's not to exalt ourselves. Luke 18:10 through 14, the Pharisee that went up to pray, and boy, he just bragged about himself through his whole prayer. It's not to receive the praise of men. Now, why should we pray then? To lay our burdens on God. Because God answers the righteous. You know, sometimes, have your prayers ever been answered? Sometimes we forget when our prayers are answered and we don't go back and say thank you. But the Lord does answer the righteous of their prayers when they pray in the ways that we've described today. We need to pray to be closer to God. What kind of relationship do we have if we won't talk to Him? And we need to pray because God wants us to pray to Him. God wants us to talk to Him. You know, sometimes we act like we're burdening Him and I'm bothering God again with this. Whose idea do you think it was in the first place? God's the one that came up with prayer and said, "Pray to me." Bring me your cares and your concerns and your needs and your wants. Ask me all of those things. Bring those things to me. We're not bothering Him. We're pleasing Him when we come to Him in this way. The devil loves it when Christians don't pray. The devil loves it when Christians pray for the wrong things or for the wrong reasons. And the devil loves it when Christians pray in the wrong way, because it makes their prayers weak and ineffectual. But God wants us to be powerful prayers, which is, I guess, different than prayers. When we pray, God wants our prayers to have an impact in this world. That's the goal of it. That's the reason for it. Jesus and the disciples prayed, and they prayed expecting those prayers to work wonders in this world. And we say, well, we don't believe in miracles. Maybe we don't believe in miracles, but we surely still believe in the providence of God. We still believe that He is working in this world. We're not deists, are we? We need to pray to God. We need to be prayer warriors. We need to be fighting in the battle against Satan down on our knees. Well, maybe not down on our knees. Some of us, if we got down on our knees, we wouldn't be able to get back up. But we need to be praying. And I want to challenge now. You say, well, what can I do? I pray sometimes. I pray about this and that. I mentioned to you a few weeks back about the Prayer Warriors program. I have the booklets ready. I've got some cards ready enough to get started. If you're interested in praying and you would like to have, a prayer list of things to pray for each day and each week, do it. If you are interested in doing that, after we're dismissed, we're going to sing the invitation song, have the closing prayer in just a moment, and when we're done with that, if you'll meet me back here in the ladies' classroom, the classroom on the left just past the bathrooms there, I have some of the little booklets and the little prayer lists. And if you'll meet me back there right after we're dismissed, I'll explain it to you and show it to you a little bit, and we'll talk about it just a little bit, and then you can have one to take home, and you can take it home and pray in secret and use these secrets that we've learned from Jesus today to have some powerful prayer in your life and to make a difference in this world because of it. If you haven't been talking to God, He misses you. You ever had someone that you didn't talk to for a really long time and you're like, oh, I just really wish I could talk to them again? Well, the good news about it is if you haven't talked to God in a long time, you can anytime. He's right there. Talk to Him. Pray to Him. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, the religious world tells people if you're not a Christian, all you got to do is pray to Him. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that if you want God to hear and answer your prayers, if you want to have that relationship with Him, you've got to first obey Him. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian, not by praying to Him, but by repenting of your sins based on a belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and being willing to confess that faith that He is the Son of God and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. And then you'll be able to talk to Him about anything and He'll be ready to listen. But see, He doesn't talk to total strangers. He talks to His children, and He listens to His children come to Him, not total strangers. If you're here and need to respond this morning, please do so as we stand and as we sing.